keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
You heard the man. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. It is Wednesday. The cicadas are popping. It's a long way to the top for them. Thanks for joining us, 1-800-684-3110. Get yourself on the air today, because as those cicadas, which feel like a plague, have started to descend upon the South and other areas of the country, including my own home this morning, of course, it is a big day for President Trump, because there's a couple big updates, some of which dovetail directly off of the conversation we had yesterday, where Jim Jordan had presented the investigation because they believe the documents that they claimed were mishandled were then once again mishandled by the people who are alleging the mishandling. Of course, that's what happened, and guess what it actually did? It provided a pretty significant delay of what it looks like is going to happen in that case. There's also an update in the Fannie Willis situation, because that case, another one that feels like it's endless and never ends. Well, guess what? There's an update to both of those. We're going to dive in here in just a second, but I'm going to encourage you to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. All this happens as the police have just recently cleared out the protesters, if you will, the encampments at George Washington University, which one of the bigger ones in the country, turned pretty violent, but they took care of business. Again, when you give the police the right to actually do their job, they'll go in and do it. Later on in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Tulsi Gabbard, who's going to be coming in, talking about those protests, and of course, the funding of where those protests came from. She talks about that and her brand new book, which is out right now, For the Love of Country, which is breaking records. So we're going to discuss that. And a big ACLJ moment that you can be a part of to really start helping protect more pastors. There's a pastor currently in Malaysia that has been essentially abducted for his faith, for witnessing, for evangelizing. We're going to continue. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast. But I wanted to give you sort of a heads up what's coming on. Next segment, Harry Hutchinson's going to join us to break down. Will, maybe we can give just quickly the two current Trump situations that are happening right now this morning in court.
That's right. So in Georgia, the appeals court has accepted his application for an interlocutory appeal. Now, that means it's an appeal not after the final judgment in a case, which you automatically have the right to appeal. It's appealing something within a case that is ongoing. So you're having to ask almost special permission of the higher court if they'll hear an appeal before the case is resolved. They granted that. He has 10 days to file notice of appeal now, go through those motions, and then get a brief in on his appeal. So the situation with Fannie Willis being on that case, still very much up in the air.
Still up in the air. And if you followed all that, I commend you. That means you're probably an avid watcher to this broadcast, or you're a legal scholar yourself. But we're going to break it down in the next segment. If you did listen, you go, I don't fully understand what they're saying. Stay tuned, because in the next segment, which is just in about 2 minutes, we're going to bring on Harry Hutchinson. We're going to break down that, as well as another situation in the Trump world. This, to me, is the one that is maybe even more fascinating, because this, the Fannie Willis one, it's scandalous. It's, you know, it's a big story, but there's obviously a lot going on there. This one is directly tied to what we talked about yesterday.
That's right. So it's the case with the classified documents was originally supposed to begin May 20th. Everyone knew that that wasn't going to happen as all these motions and issues kept coming up, but the judge had still not set a new trial date. Well, yesterday, and this comes on the heels after Jack Smith admitted in his filing over the weekend that, yeah, maybe they hadn't kept as good of records with the evidence as they thought they should have. Well, she has taken out the order of a May 20th start date of that trial and has not set a new one, meaning that case is indefinitely on hold while they go through what she calls a myriad of interconnected pretrial issues.
Yeah, you heard that right. Essentially, delayed indefinitely. Could that mean beyond this election? We'll talk about that coming up. But look, we're seeing the radical left weaponizing the judicial system, the justice system, against conservatives. You can help us. We got a new petition. That's right. Another one. Go to aclj.org/sign or scan the code right now. Sign the petition right now. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Logan Seculo here, as well as Will Haynes joining us, executive producer in the studio. And now, senior counsel here at the ACLJ, Harry Hutchinson, is joining us. And we're going to discuss these new updates. Again, if you're just joining us, a lot of you are. First, I do have to say, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. But I have to say also, thank you. We just crossed 400,000 YouTube subscribers. That is a huge deal. That means so many new voices are hearing this broadcast, hearing this show. And after 30 years of being on the air, the fact that we were able to reach essentially a whole new group of, you know, then that's a, and only about 48% or so of our viewers actually are subscribers. That means we're reaching, you know, upwards of a million new people just by embracing technology and using what's free in front of you. So I want to thank all of you who watch on Rumble, all of you who watch on YouTube, Facebook, on social media in general, or online. You know, I'm thankful for our terrestrial radio audience, but we see the future, and thankfully there's brand new people like you, and I wanted to say thank you. Again, though, let's talk about, if you saw the headline, the two big issues happening this morning related to President Trump in court, which again, feels like this is a repeat, feels like this is ad nauseum. We've heard this so many times. When these guys told me what they wanted to do this morning for our topic, I rolled my eyes and said, do we have to do this again? But yes, because there are two big breaking news items out of this, which is, first, let's start with the Fannie Willis situation. That's the one I know a lot of you want to hear, but really the other one related to the documents we talked about yesterday, that's the work, you know, that we get involved. That's, you know, we're involved in both, but that is to me the one that's more interesting because it's not about a scandal that then is causing a chaotic situation. The documents is specifically about what's happening legally and things that have happened and unfolded that way. So let's start though with the Fannie Willis situation. Why don't we just start with an update of what's going on? And Harry, you can kind of give people a breakdown of this because at this situation, essentially the court has granted and said, yes, we at least are going to now consider the fact that she should not be on this.
Absolutely. So I think if you look at the central case affecting Fannie Willis, I think it's clear beyond question that there was indeed a conflict of interest between her and the special prosecutor with whom she had a relationship. The lower court judge, Judge McAfee, declined to disqualify Fannie Willis, but he allowed Donald Trump and the other defendants to bring an appeal to the Georgia Court of Appeals, which has now been granted. So this means they will hear the case. It also means that Fannie Willis could indeed still be disqualified, and it's possible that the case could be taken away from the Fulton County prosecutor, given to another prosecutor, and then that prosecutor could decide to dismiss the case. So it's a very important decision. It's a big win for Donald Trump and his fellow defendants. And I think we will have to see what the Georgia Court of Appeals does with it.
For a timeline, this could kick it down the road pretty significantly, or it could be ruled fairly quickly. So they've what? How many days to respond?
So President Trump has to actually docket the appeal within 10 days, and then he has 20 days from docketing it to get essentially his merits brief, his first appeal brief in on this case. But I also had a question for Professor Hutchison. Because this was an interlocutory appeal, it wasn't after a final judgment in a case.
We need to stop and say, what does that mean?
Right, but essentially, If you appeal a final judgment, like you have been convicted,
right,
that you automatically have the right to appeal. Interlocutory appeal means it's something within
currently
the case, and therefore it's not a given that you can even appeal it. Is there anything you can read into the fact that the higher court accepted this appeal when it didn't necessarily have to?
Yes, I think you can. I think you can assume that the court believes that there is at least some merit to the appeal. So in other words, they're not going to waste their time on a frivolous case. So certainly when we followed the case before Judge McAfee, there were clear grounds, including an odor of mendacity, which infected the trial and the proposed trial at the lower court level. I think District Attorney Fannie Willis has not basically complied with professional standards, And I think, actually, I think most people would agree with that. And I think the Georgia Court of Appeals, in some respects, is agreeing with that possibility, at least. Doesn't mean that they are going to rule in favor of Donald Trump and the fellow defendants, but I think he has a shot. And my own assessment is that he has a better than 50-50 chance of prevailing before the Court of Appeals.
All right, let's take this one. All right, so we got that one handled. Of course, if it's President Trump, there's a lot of lawsuits going on. There's a lot of court cases happening. We have to keep them all straight in our heads. And sometimes it's hard because there's so many happening. So much so, by the way, that I think they become less and less impactful, less and less meaningful. Because if you hear the same story every day, eventually, though they are still legally very significant. I want to make sure people understand that. Like, they are alleging things that could get you thrown in jail. But in terms of the public perception, I think they become less and less powerful. Now, yesterday we reported the situation where Jim Jordan said, hey, it appears that the documents that you claim to be mishandled, the classified documents being kept in Mar-a-Lago, were in fact mishandled by the people collecting them. Who knew if anything was going to come from that? I got some responses to that broadcast yesterday and said, this is Jim Jordan just puffing his chest. Nothing is going to happen. You need to tell him to take action, Governor. And of course, because I said, you know, there's good people. There are people like Jim Jordan who are out there. But no, action actually did happen very rapidly. And it appears to be, that's at least part of the reason why that situation, the Mar-a-Lago document situation, may be pushed on well beyond potentially the 2024 election.
Absolutely. It's likely to be pushed into 2025 at the earliest, in part because there are a ton of pretrial motions and pretrial issues that must be decided. Jack Smith essentially charged President Trump with doing what? Mishandling classified documents. And then the Department of Justice, under the control of Jack Smith, then tampered with or mishandled those documents himself.
Yep.
And so you cannot make it up. it is a brilliant illustration, I believe, of Jack Smith's willingness to overcharge other individuals for conduct that his office is arguably guilty of. In addition to which, it's possible that Jack Smith did something else, that he tampered with a witness by essentially promising to help the witness's lawyer attain a federal judgeship. I think that has yet to be decided in terms of the implications.
In the news on this one, this is kind of bothers me a little bit. It's sure the headlines will show up like if you're looking at top news sources, but that is not the number one, not even a top 10 story probably happening across the country right now. The Fannie Willis one, yeah, sure, that's making some attention. But again, because it's scandalous, because I think people, I'm sure they see ratings pop for that. You have the other situation, obviously, the protests and all that happening. But this one, I didn't see many other people talking about, and it's a pretty devastating blow, I think, to that case. And to me, it's maybe the one time where they go, okay, you know what? We saw what happened with President Biden. Then he also had, look, let's say you think all of it's true, that President Trump had documents he shouldn't have had. Well, then we know for sure President Biden also had documents he shouldn't have had. What's clear is, however these documents are being transported, not necessarily the easiest, the best way, and probably not the most 2024 way in American society right now. Probably need to figure out a little safer way to do this. But also that you can't be on one side of the political spectrum. It's not that kind of issue. This is happening across the board. And maybe when you see this kind of impropriety happening, that you can just say, okay, this case, we're going to pump it so far into the future, into 2025, either President Trump will be the president, therefore this case is pretty much null and void, or he loses and we'll deal with it then. Getting it beyond the election, I think, is good. I think that's helpful. I did just look and see we only got a minute and a half left in this segment. I did want to encourage you because during this time, we launch a lot of petitions. We launch a lot of ways for you to get involved. Right now, the radical left, like I said, has been weaponizing the judicial system. We've seen it now time and time again. We have defeated them multiple times in their attempt to either, whether it was to get Trump knocked off the ballot. We saw that happen in the Supreme Court. And just this morning, obviously, we saw what happened in the state of Georgia. Then we see what happens when Jim Jordan challenges the situation and says, those documents were also mishandled. We have proof. Guess what happens? Or you're trying to bribe someone to a judgeship. Those actions we are also getting ourselves involved in many different ways. But there's a way that you can do it right now, which is just to sign our petition, which, by the way, is about to cross 100,000. This is not a brand new petition, but it's a brand new petition for this broadcast. It's been one at the ACLJ that we've had for a little while. You can get involved in it right now. I'm going to look at the current number that we're at. We are over 92,000, almost 93,000 signers to that petition. Do it right now. Scan the code on your screen or go to ACLJ.org/sign. Coming up in the next segment, we have Tulsi Gabbard. We're going to talk a bit more about the funding that's going on in these protests. These encampments, thankfully, are starting to become less and less as they approach graduation ceremonies and things like that. We are starting to see the police actually take some real action. And of course, we know where that funding's coming from. We're going to talk about that with her coming up. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We have other we have one line open, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk about the court cases with President Trump, if you want to talk about what's happening in Israel or anything else, give us a call. We also got big ACLJ work that we could use your help on coming up. Welcome back. We are now joined by Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ. Of course, you know him as former U.S. Secretary of State and so much more. Before we get to you, Secretary Pompeo, I wanted you to respond because they just played. I was watching videos we played during the breaks. If you watch on social media, by the way, or on YouTube or on Facebook or Rumble, you don't go to break. You get special video content created just for you. So I encourage you to all watch this broadcast as well. But they played a clip from President Biden being interviewed, and this is when he kind of confirmed that they've been holding up shipments. But when you hear this, check out the level of confidence coming out of this president right now. Bite four.
We've held up the weapons. We've held up the one shipment as an old shipment that was been designed. We've held that up.
And I quote, we've held that up, the weapons. We've held up the one shipment as an oil shipment has been designed.
Old
does, shipment. Yeah. We held that up. But at least the one thing you can say confirmed that this weapons shipment was delayed intentionally and has pretty much said if they continue their strikes in Rafah, the U.S. is not going to supply.
This is stunning and this is dangerous and the whole world is watching. So this has a real impact on the relationship between the United States and Israel and Israel's capacity to defend itself. That's what the real focus is. But think about what's in the minds of Hezbollah today. Think about what's in the mind of the Houthi rebels in Yemen. Think about what's in the mind of the leadership of Hamas, who's sitting in tunnels under Rafah. They're all enormously encouraged. They cheered that interview. You should also think about students on campuses who think we caused this. Our chaos creation, our denying some students the capacity to live their lives, practice their faith, actually just get a basic education, that work that we did on these campuses influenced the President of the United States and has now caused him to break with a 75-year ally of the United States of America. The Israelis will get it right. They'll do the right thing. But the fact that the President of the United States spoke this way, spoke just the day after he'd given this full-throated support of the Jewish people and their rightful homeland, is indecent and truly dangerous.
It is stunning. It is shocking. I can't even imagine a situation, and maybe you could even tell me, as someone who's been at least somewhat in that situation, other than politics, which at some point politics shouldn't be the answer. Getting votes should not be what determines what every presidential decision is to make sure you've solidified your reelection. Unfortunately, that feels where we are, because how could an American president, knowing there are still hostages, knowing there are still American hostages, seeing what's going on, how can they justify this? How can they justify doing this in a time when there are still Americans held hostage? There are still these terrorist organizations. They're firing, of course, on that that dock that was built, the pier, the humanitarian pier. This is only, it seems like, for votes, and it's a sad state when that's the truth.
So I think two things. One, I do think there's a plus domestic political angle to this. I talked about these young people on campuses. There's no doubt he's thinking about the fact he needs to win Michigan to be reelected and what's happening in Dearborn and Detroit. I think that's true. I would also say, and I think the folks who watch the ACLJ for a long time and who have supported it so deeply and importantly to defend Israel's right to do the right thing, I think this is also ideological from the Biden administration. Think about this. We've got a fellow named Robert Malley, who at the very beginning of the administration undid the very sanctions, the very pressure on Iran that had kept them from performing acts like we saw on October 7th, right? It was a deterrent model against Iran. And these folks, the Biden administration, Rob Malley's status clear and suspended. He's clearly working on behalf of something other than the United States of America. I think, you know, this administration suspended his clearance. This idea that you can work with the Iranians, and we've now encouraged them, this is another step in that chain. This is part of their ideology. It is the United States doesn't have the value set to actually defend things that matter to it. Israel is the problem child here. And if they just find a way to get along with the Palestinians, this would all go away. And gosh, if we talked to Iran a little bit more, we'd find peace and stability in the Middle East. That insanity, that ideology that is attached to that, I think is also part of this as well.
Mr. Secretary, you brought up the point that this confirmation of the pause of the shipment came the day after he gave the Holocaust Memorial speech, where he said his commitment to Israel's security was ironclad. Do you also make any comparisons where the fact they decided to even do this was right after Congress passed more aid for Israel? Is there some sort of Capitol Hill infighting as well with the administration on who the administration is going to support?
Undoubtedly. Think about this. If you're a Republican member who said, no, I'm going to support this package, maybe you weren't as excited about some piece of it, but you knew that the support for Israel was an important part of American national security. You now feel like you were given a bait and switch, because frankly, it appears that you may well have been given a bait and switch. I also always think about what's Zelensky thinking today. Zelensky's got to be thinking, oh my goodness, if there's some protesters on a campus somewhere, this will all go away again. Or if you're Xi Jinping and you say, you know, I think as before I actually take on Taiwan, I think I want to go create organizations and build leaders and underwrite college campus protests and go build out in the Chinese diaspora a political voting base. This is a model that is deeply dangerous. And I don't think President Biden has begun to consider the ramifications that go far beyond the problem that we face on the ground today. I'll say this. I'm confident Israel will go do what they need to do. I'm confident they'll have the tools and set of capabilities to do that. But man, it gets really hard when your friend and ally, the United States of America, has basically told the world, we're out. We are not going to participate in this. We are not even going to allow the Israelis to do the necessary.
Absolutely. And you see that. You said that model can be made where protests can happen and support can be withdrawn or created, whether that was in Ukraine or whether that happened in Israel, in the sense of you can find humanitarian responses, even if they are built upon lies. And I wanted to play this. We've played it now, both segments, because it's just insane. This is from, again, American Muslims for Palestine. I read you the About Us. It sounds very nice, very peaceful, historical organization. But this is what's coming out of 501c3 nonprofit organizations in America. Of course, we know probably where the messaging is coming from, but this is what they're preaching, which is then, this is the organizer for who? For, of course, things like the college campus protest. Take a listen.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any, or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Secretary Pompeo, you and I both said it. Once they start using Christian Zionists or Zionists, that means evangelicals. That means all of us. And then obviously for the Jewish people, he didn't even label Israelis or people who are supporting it. He just said anyone who identifies as Jewish plus any pretty much evangelical Christian in America are enemy number one.
Yep. Look, we've heard this language before. This is a anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist rant that goes far beyond just the idea that, boy, it'd be good to get a ceasefire. This is the exact language that is used by the Ayatollah in Tehran. This is the exact language used by those who want to eliminate the nation state of Israel, and we should respond to it accordingly. The second thought is, as I was listening to him, I was thinking about exactly where this money is coming from. And it's deep connectivity. So when we talk about politics, we're not just talking about a set of votes in Dearborn. We're talking about some of the same people who are underwriting President Biden's campaign.
Absolutely.
And some of the Democrat senators. So this funding issue, where these protests are being generated and resourced, undoubtedly is deeply connected to the Democrat Party and to the Biden administration's political campaign as well.
We got to fight back again. Thank you, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us. Incredible insight. Go to ACLJ.org to sign that petition right now. ACLJ.org, sign. They're coming after you now as well. Okay, you got to stand up. ACLJ.org/sign. We'll be right back, second half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. If you're just joining us, I'm sure you maybe saw that headline. First, I want to thank Tulsi Gabbard for just being on. But also, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about what's going on in some of these countries and how the ACLJ gets involved. That's going to begin the next segment of what's happening right now in Malaysia. And I know you say, why do I care? Well, you care because it kind of also directly reflects what's happening on college campuses, as we've seen the rise of not only anti-Semitism, anti-Christianity, but also we have seen the rise in support of Islamic law, if you will, to be potentially part of the fabric of the United States of America's government. What does that really look like? I'm going to show you in the next segment. Okay, so you're going to stay tuned for that. We're going to discuss that. I did want to give everyone, Will, a very quick, brief breakdown, because a lot of people are just joining us. I can see in the numbers what's going on with the two kind of big movements in Trump cases across the country right now. I know you're saying you're inundated with Trump cases and you may be trying to, it's hard to keep it straight. Actually seen some of the calls and comments saying, I can't even keep all these straight. Trust me, I feel the same way. No one wants to be talking about this less than me. Okay. I would much
That's
rather
a true statement. That is
I would
a true
much
statement.
Rather never have to talk about a Trump legal battle for the rest of my life. But unfortunately, this is where we are in society, because when you start persecuting someone, a lot of these cases due to why? A political difference? You start to look like a lot of these countries, like you're going to hear about in the next segment, if you go too far down that road. But let's give an update of what the two big things are. And if you listened to the show yesterday, by the way, you'll find the connective tissue there.
It's starting to look more and more like the cases from Jack Smith and also the one in Georgia will not come to fruition before the election. Yeah. In Florida, in the classified documents case, we saw yesterday and reported yesterday that they were looking into potential mishandling or altering of the evidence in that case. Those would be the documents that were brought forward. That was after an admission in court, a filing to the court by Jack Smith's special counsel team. And so yesterday, as we were expecting the judge to push back the trial date anyways, because they hadn't gotten to the place they need to be, and it was set for May 20th, she vacated the current May 20th start date, and it says it will be reset by a separate order following resolution of the matters before the court. Those matters she described as a myriad and interconnected of interconnected pretrial issues remaining and forthcoming. So she knows that there is a lot of work to be done to even get them in a place to go to trial. And then in Georgia, we have the fact that the appeals court has accepted the application for appeal by President Trump's legal team, and that is on whether or not to remove Fani Willis from the case. We filed in that motion, in that application for appeal, an amicus brief, and we wrote, a conflicted prosecutor who nonetheless proceeds with prosecution casts an odor of mendacity over the entire proceeding that cannot be corrected or remedied after the fact, meaning after the trial is over. It seems like the appeals court agrees that that issue needs to be heard in that way and not wait for this to end after a trial is over. So within the month, we will probably be told a court date or a hearing date in the appeals court on when they will hear that appeal.
All right. Hopefully that gives you an update on what's going on, but we are going to move on from that. So if you have a question or comment related to that, you can call in. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the real serious work that's happening. Do you know why there are actual people's lives at stake around the world for being a Christian or for sharing the gospel? That is still happening in our world. And guess what? Because the ACLJ has supporters like you, and we can be so vast in our work, our legal work, our work at the UN, places you don't even think we should be at, like the UN, we need to be there. We have to be there. Voices have to be heard. So in this next segment, we are going to talk about one of those very important situations that's happening. A lot of the times, we keep quiet. We don't talk a lot about what's happening because we're trying to work it out. But sometimes media presence is the only way to get an answer. So we're going to discuss that coming up in the next segment. But this is the perfect time to get in line. If you want to be on the air in the last segment of the broadcast, you know me. I take as many calls as I can. So give us a call at 1-800-919-7262. 608-431-1010. Try to keep it on topic. Definitely try to keep it clean. Come on, no curse singer. Guess what? It's not terrestrial radio. Our phone screener has to say, sorry, you're not going to be making it. Maybe you'll be banned forever. So don't curse. Call in. Be kind. Get a question or comment in. We'll take them in the last segment. Sign the petition right now at aclj.org/sign. Welcome back to Secula. We're going to take you live to Jeff Balaban, who joins us at ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff, this has been what I've been saying for weeks, which was eventually they were just going to, you know, they were going to say the quiet part out loud, if you will. No longer is it being, if you're pro-Israel, if you're pro just generic Zionism, it's no longer those kind of statements that are being made by these organizations. This is American Muslims for Palestine. I read their About Us on here. It sounds very nice, very peaceful, as expected. A 501c3 nonprofit organization here in America. This isn't propaganda coming out of the Middle East. This is an American company with an American board. And if you look at who this came from, this was the Director of Outreach and Community Organizing for American Muslims for Palestine, which again, sounds all good and nice. We all know what that really means, that maybe they're smart enough to not again say what they really think. But I think we got to play this real quick again for people just joining us. And then Jeff, I'm sure your reaction, similar to mine. Go ahead, let's play it again.
Anybody who has any relationship or any support or any or identifies themselves as a Jewish person or as a Christian Zionist, then we shall not be their friend. I will tell you that they are enemy number one, and our community needs to recognize that as such.
Enemy number one, Christian Zionists, and anyone identifying as Jewish, this is the true time when it becomes terrifying to hear this out loud.
You're 100% correct, Logan. And, you know, we should listen to our enemies when they tell us who they are. They say a lot of things. You know, he started this organization supposedly for the great Palestinian culture. Well, there is no Palestinian culture because the notion of a Palestinian Arab came into existence in the 1960s, taking over the name Palestine from what was always the Jewish state, the Jewish land. Palestinian meant Jew until the 1960s. And they've been clear since the beginning that they have one mission and one goal, total genocide of the Jews, but also they've said that while the Jews are the small Satan, that Christians and America are the great Satan. So the war that started on October 7th, Israel is just a front for a war that's against our entire civilization, against Judeo-Christian civilization. And they're getting closer and closer to saying it out loud. People like him who've been working for years and years, and now you have college kids bowing down to Mecca. They don't know anything. That these non-binary queer college kids who would be slaughtered in areas, you know, controlled by the Palestinians, bowing down to Mecca and declaring that they want death to America.
Right, death to America. And look, one of our producers here, he put together a list of, I think they all did, put together a list of who number one,
public enemy number one.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden, El Chapo. You're talking about big name terrorists and what they label as number one. Again, you may go, this is some fringe group. These are legitimate groups within this country. And you have to figure out how to respond. We have to bring media attention to it because maybe then the pressure builds to where they got to walk some of this back, but probably they won't because they said enemy number one is Christian Zionist, which, okay, I've said that before. If you're saying Christian Zionist or Zionist, you're saying most evangelical Christians. That's just the truth because most evangelical Christians support a state of Israel existing. All it is. You don't even support the government of what's going on in Israel. You're just supporting the general idea that Israel should exist. But then to take it one step further, and again, not to just say Zionists, but now just Jews. I mean, this is the time we have to wake up. And when you hear these kind of sentiment coming out of our own country, what has to get done to wake people up to realize what they're really dealing with? They're seeing the atrocities now on the college campuses. They're seeing what's going on. They're being force-fed lies. You know, there's obviously the situation happening currently in Rafah, and I see some of my friends who are well-meaning, like you said, posting things about, well, what about this? What about the people who, you know, are there? What about the kids who can't get out? And of course, we all feel horrible for what it has to happen. But in this situation also, the Israeli government said, leave. We're going to tell you to evacuate. But guess what? Hamas says, no. We're not letting that happen because we know how we play this game, and it's using our own people.
That's right. And Logan, it's even worse. I'm going to connect a couple of dots now. Everything you're saying is true, and it's even worse because the same Biden administration that has essentially declared religious Catholics to be terrorists, that has declared religious Christians in general to be a threat to America, the same Biden administration that is saturated with the same kind of people with the same kind of background. I don't mean Muslims. I mean people who support jihad, who support genocide, or who are now influential in the government, are have control of our government. And it's incredibly dangerous. And so this narrative is being presided over by the White House itself. And so we're in a moment of great peril now for America. You know, American Christians know well, and I'm not, I'm an American Jew, but I've heard this from so many Christian friends over the years, right? About they know that what happened in the Holocaust can never happen again, and that Christians have a role in fighting it. Well, that's exactly the time we live in now. That's the time we live in today. And the work we have to do is to do everything in our power at ACLJ to try and stop it on the legal front, on the political front, and on the media front.
Jeff, as we were talking earlier, you are seeing this rhetoric, one, get more brazen by organizations. We know that American Muslims for Palestine also help organize for Students for Justice in Palestine, which is behind many of these encampments and have been kicked off many college campuses because of their rhetoric in the past. But we also know at the same time, as we're seeing it spread here on American campuses, we're now seeing horrific video out of Europe where you saw at the University of Amsterdam, people wearing keffiyehs were beating Jewish students with 2x4s as they tried to walk through the campus. But we also have just a day after the United States president said that his support for the security of Israel is ironclad. He admitted that they had paused munitions transfers and marked a very distinct red line about any munitions going forward if anything happens in Rafah. What's your take on that?
Well, we've discussed this before here on Seculo, William. What this president has done is, unlike every other war conducted currently or recently, where the goal is to get non-combatants out of the way of the fighting, to move them to a different place geographically, this president has locked them in. He's demanded that the Israelis not let them leave. The Israelis have been trying to get non-combatants out of the way. Biden has forced them into Rafah, and then withheld precision munitions, which means they're forcing the death of Arabs. You know who forces the death of Arabs to make Israel look bad? That's exactly what Hamas does. And we have the Biden administration doing exactly what Hamas does, and every one of these casualties, every non-combatant casualty, their blood is on the hands of Hamas and Joe Biden.
I want to make sure people understand sort of the severity of this. You know, we can get kind of worked up in sort of the entertainment side of this, because you do watch these clips. And I saw this clip this morning, by the way, that clip from the, what is the organization? The American Muslims for Palestine. And I saw it because people like you who are watching share this kind of content. I saw this because Patricia Heaton, another Nashvillean, she shared it. Again, a devout Catholic, someone out there, not a Jewish person, but someone who has really taken a strong stand for Israel. But it's important. Someone asked, will you post this clip? We absolutely will. We'll make sure our team posts this with our commentary as well, because you don't only need to hear the clip, you need to hear about how you can take action and how you can actually support people like Jeff, like the ACLJ in Jerusalem. Right now, there's an easy way to do it. This isn't you can donate if you want. We encourage you, please, to support the work of the ACLJ, but we have a petition right now. You go to aclj.org/sign, because look, do that right now. Sign the petition to support Israel, because it's sad to say this, but now it's not just supporting and standing with the Jewish people. It's also standing and supporting the Jewish people, and also standing and supporting, likely, if you're listening on Christian radio, or you're a conservative, or you're a Christian, they are coming after you as well. We are now enemy number one, collectively. Jews and Christians standing together as what? As the enemy to organizations like this. And sure, you could have drawn that conclusion already. You could have said, well, of course, Logan, you've been saying that for weeks. You said it on air. Christian Zionists are who they're going to be coming after next. But it's almost like as if we said it out loud, that is who the target was. And now they go, oh, thank God, now we can say it. Yeah, that's how it feels. As long as now they understand, of course they understand, they're the target. The target is American Christians and Jews who support the state of Israel. A pretty generic statement, a statement that was not all that controversial even 6 months ago. But now, of course, the tide has turned. So we got to make sure we're sharing. We got to make sure we're signing. We're getting involved in different ways. And Jeff, I know that you're on the ground there and it's important, but we also need to do it to make sure, like you said, that our message, thankfully, we're able to broadcast on platforms even like YouTube and Rumble that are available around the world, free speech platforms that can be seen, because we got to make sure the people of Israel, and I'm not talking about even the governments of Israel. You can disagree with the government of Israel, just like you disagree with the government here, but that the people understand that we are there for them.
100%, Logan. Look, as you know, as I said this before, look, I'm Jewish. I decided that my fight for the survival of my people and for the survival of America was with ACLJ, precisely because of the credibility ACLJ has, because of the depth of the power that ACLJ has legally, politically. And by the way, I know we're going to be joined soon by the former Secretary of State, who's a tremendous hero of America and of the Jewish people. And precisely the people like that who joined ACLJ, honestly, this is the place to stand to make this fight. And here in Jerusalem, I'm here because people here appreciate it. They're shocked at what's going on in America. They don't understand. Yep. They need our help, and they need the support. People support ACLJ to support the work that we're trying to do here to help save the Jewish people and to help save America.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Secretary Mike Pompeo. Welcome back to Seculo. There's a lot of brand new people, I can tell, just because I can look at the back end of all of this. There's a lot of new people joining us today on YouTube and quite a few on Rumble as well. If you wouldn't mind, because we do this broadcast each and every day, and we put out a lot of great other content, hit that subscribe button. It really does help us out a lot, costs you nothing, gets our information not only into your hands, but into hands of others that it's all the algorithm. But you know what? We are seeing massive growth in those places and headed towards an historic year, 6 months coming up. We need the most people to see and hear from our point of view as possible. So I'm going to ask you, encourage you to hit subscribe if you can, if you're watching on one of those platforms. Do we have Tulsi? Are we waiting? Still waiting? All right.
Hammer in just a second.
We'll have Tulsi Gabbard joining us in just a second. Let me know when she is on. We do, again, have a lot happening right now at the ACLJ, and I do want to talk to you about a situation going on. We're going to talk about this in the second half hour, so I want you to stay tuned, because the ACLJ is involved right now in a situation in Malaysia. And I know you may say that is not maybe on my radar, but we are going to discuss that coming up a little bit later, because there is a pastor in Malaysia and we are trying to help get him free, imprisoned, because he was witnessing, evangelizing his Christian faith. All right, we are joined now by Tulsi Gabbard, who is joining us live. Her book, For Love of Country. I'm saying it because I just saw your Instagram story saying, like, we got to get this thing on the New York Times bestsellers list, which, look, I have, as someone who's been involved in that situation before, I'm tracking how things are going. And if for some reason it doesn't, then I smell collusion.
Right.
because they can't ignore what's going on with your book, because it is really taken off. It feels like every day I'm just seeing tons of posts about it.
Thank you so much, Logan. I have heard many stories about the New York Times editorial boards, the bestseller board, whoever the body is that makes decisions. They don't even claim to try to be fair. They say that ultimately it is an editorial decision, but as you know well, we need to make it as hard for them to make excuses about why they're going to keep this book, and more importantly, the message that I'm delivering in this book, off the list. So we got 6 days before they make their announcement and make their decision, and I really want to make a big statement about the New York Times and give them the opportunity to be fair.
And I think if you make enough noise, I believe they will be, because I know the stink that will be caused if they don't. And we can see, again, thankfully, in some sort of modern society here, we can kind of look and see how these books and these projects do, and we can track where your book is going, and we know that it should be making those lists. So we'll see. We're praying for you. We're hoping for it. We're telling everyone to go get it. But why we have you here today is we also, which is part of your book, kind of where some of this funding is happening. We've seen now we're weeks into these campus protests. We just saw George Washington University, the police finally do their job, clear out the encampments. But the reports have been surfacing over the last few days, and we've discussed it on this broadcast of where that funding for all of this comes from. And of course, it comes from maybe the sources that people will start screaming conspiracy theories as soon as you start saying where they're coming from. But you know, and I know, that these are coming from a very specific section of society, if you will.
It is. And when it's directly connected to so many of the other failed Biden-Harris policies and initiatives that we've seen across the country, this same group of billionaire donors who are supporting President Biden's reelection campaign, who are funding so many of these anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas protests on these campuses, are the very same people who were behind the defund the police effort. They're the very same people who are behind pushing these so-called progressive prosecutor policies that ultimately favor the violent criminal over the victim of a crime. So we look at what's happening in these cities across the country where they are pouring not hundreds of thousands, but millions, tens of millions of dollars to fund campaigns like those of Alvin Bragg in New York City, like those of the progressive prosecutors in Philadelphia and Los Angeles and New York City and Chicago. The policies that are actually hurting people, undermining the rule of law, and really disrespecting completely the role of our police and their job, their responsibility to enforce law and order. There's a reason why they are doing this, and there's a reason why President Biden has been so hesitant to call out what is very obvious to the rest of us in this country, specifically with these campus riots. You know, how hard is it to stand as president of the United States and say, we should all, as Americans who love freedom and cherish peace, stand against these anti-Semitic attacks? We stand for the protection of free speech, even speech that we don't like, as long as you are respecting the peace and upholding the rule of law and order. And also, we as freedom-loving Americans stand against the radical Islamist ideology being propagated by terrorist groups like Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, ISIS, Boko Haram. The list goes on and on. They have been waging this ideological warfare for hundreds of years in a very calculated and systematic manner. We are seeing the results of that warfare on our college campuses today, not only in America, but in many countries in the West. And President Biden lacks the courage to speak the truth about this threat of Islamist ideology, whose goal is to rule over the world through Islamic law, because he's too afraid. He's afraid of being called an Islamophobe by the pro-Hamas elements within the Democratic Party, whether they be members of Congress like Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, or they may be voters in different pockets of the country. This has been a problem not only with President Biden, but many other Democrat leaders, again, who refuse to take a leadership role and stand for freedom to counter this ideological warfare with the superior ideology rooted in our Constitution and our values and principles that are based in freedom. Again, they are too afraid. People who make decisions and live their life in fear have no business being in charge of and responsible for the United States of America, serving as president and commander in chief.
Seeing this all over. And look, I encourage everyone to stay tuned and listen to our next segment. If you really want to see what some of this Islamist law looks like in other countries, you have to hear about what we're doing at the ACLJ and our European Center with a pastor that is currently imprisoned in one of these countries that is under sort of this control. Why? Because of simple evangelism and really helping the poor, doing what you do as a Christian, as someone who is of faith. What happens? You end up in jail and potentially worse. So if you want to support that, you need to stay tuned and listen to that story coming up. But Tulsi, we've got about a minute and a half here. I did want to give you the opportunity again, because I do want people to get the book. I have it right here. Go pick it up. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. And I think this is an important time for people, because you need to hear voices like yours who have seen what's going on in the country and realize that we are headed in a wrong direction. And even if it was a direction that maybe at some point you may have thought was correct.
Wherever people stand on their politics or their partisanship, or whether we may agree or disagree on different issues, it is critical that we stand together on the common foundation of freedom that makes us who we are as Americans. That is what is under threat right now. That is what is at the core of the message and experiences that I share in my book, For Love of Country. And it's what must motivate us to act in this election to stand together to defend freedom and the right for us to live in this open marketplace of ideas and a democracy where our voices rule the day. Thank you so much for all the support. Go out and get your copy today.
Just make sure, social media team, make sure we put it in the comments and the links, a direct link to make sure people can pick up Tulsi Gabbard for Love of Country. She'll be back on, I'm sure, next week, and we will have to break down what the New York Times did or did not do. But I am hopeful. I believe. We'll be back on Monday, but of course, new content posted each and every day, ACLJ.org and all our social platforms. Talk to you then.